ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We have started studying of the Bhrigavalli, the third chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad. There was a great spiritual seeker, highly qualified, and he was fortunate enough to have his own father, biological father, who happened to be a great knower of Brahman. This is a great privilege, and that also points out to us, as some people mistakenly think that only sannyasis are entitled to obtain Brahmagnana and householders they do not get. This question also came in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. A Brahmo devotee asks, is it possible for householders to realize God? Sri Ramakrishna says, in a sense, of course, I'm not repeating his words, that these ashramas have nothing to do with Brahmagnana. Anybody who lives a pure and spiritual life, as indicated in the scriptures, he would realize God. There were thousands upon thousands of rishis. Swami Vivekananda says, it will not do to venerate the old rishis. Each one of you must become a rishi. In fact, whoever becomes a knower of Brahman is a real rishi. And our scriptures categorically tell, there is nobody who is excluded, who is denied, who is rejected, who will not become free. Everybody will become free. But of course, God will give in infinity. But are we ready to receive the infinity? If we have to receive the infinity, then there should not be any limitation to our receiving capacity. And the only way we can receive infinity is to completely become non-separate with infinity. There is no other way. So, we have to understand this truth so marvelously well. So there was this seeker. He was fortunate to have his own father. Now the relationship is not son and father, but a fit disciple and envoyer of Brahman as the teacher. Very humbly, the Upanishad tells us the Bhrigu, the seeker, approached his father not as a father, but as a teacher of Brahmagnana. How do we know? Because he addressed him as Bhagavan. Bhagavan means address. Guru is addressed as Bhagavan. Bhagavan, of course, is addressed as Bhagavan. So please teach me Brahmagnanam, Brahmavidya. Teach me about Brahman. Varunam pitaram upasasara adhihi bhagavo brahma. Then we have been studying this one, the essence of what it is. So far we had studied that the teacher should be qualified, he should be a Shrotriya and a Brahmanista, a knower of scriptures, and also a person who has realized only in the field of spirituality, only a spiritual person can become the real teacher, and even among the realized souls, as Sri Ramakrishna says, only an authorized person can become a teacher. You just take the example. Sri Ramakrishna is called Jagadguru. Totapuri, by no way, is ever called a Jagadguru. That he was very fortunate to become the teacher of Sri Ramakrishna is his great good fortune. But he can never become a world teacher. Body is not fit, mind is not fit. Of course, God did not authorize. Even the Divine Mother did not allow him to stay with Sri Ramakrishna for more than what was necessary period. And that necessary period was only 3 days, just to be able to initiate Sri Ramakrishna, but he could not go even then. The rest of the period he stayed was not for the benefit of Sri Ramakrishna, but to complete his own sadhana, so he could recognize without God's grace, without the grace of God, a person cannot have a human birth, the association with other spiritual, genuine spiritual seekers, and mumukshu intense longing. It is not possible. It is only by the grace of God that it is possible. In Vivek Chudamani, Shankaracharya explains this so beautifully. But Tathapuri did not recognize the hand of the Divine Mother, the grace of the Divine Mother, who was like a most loving mother, was removing all the obstacles like anger, lust, greed, jealousy, pride, etc. Then only Tathapuri was able to progress in life. So there is a way a student has to approach that is very important for us to understand. So when this Bhrigu, and this Bhrigu becomes very famous later on, is considered as one of the greatest rishis, Bhagavad Gita tells, Maharshi Naam Bhriguraham, I am among the Maharshis, not only rishis, Maharshis, I am Bhrigu. So God himself says, Bhrigu is the greatest rishi. Not only that. So this Bhrigu Maharshi is considered as one of the Saptarshis in some versions. So we do not know whether there can be other people also by the name Bhrigu, but we can assume maybe it is the same person. Doesn't matter. All knowers of Brahman, whether it is Saptarshi or this Bhrigu Maharshi or the famous Bhrigu which Krishna Bhagavan marks down, it doesn't matter. They were all knowers of Brahman, and as such, remembering one is equivalent to remembering all of them. Now he approached him in a formal manner. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. One should approach a guru. How? Samit Panihi, indicating, I am ready to burn my egotism and receive what you have to give me. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita also it says that one should serve the guru, please him. Tadvidhi pranipatena. Pranipata means complete surrender. You are right. Whatever you say will be the best path and the greatest path, the most suitable path for me. All these are implied there. But one should ask. What does one ask? So if a person goes to a king who is highly pleased with him to ask, I am very fond of pumpkins, please grant me some pumpkins. How ridiculous it would be if having a great king ready to bestow anything he asks, to ask him will be some pumpkins, will be very ridiculous. So, according to the giver, we have to ask. That is why going to God and asking for some siddhis, give me some powers, is one of the lowliest attitudes in life. Not that God cannot give powers. In fact, every power that we see in this world is only God-given power. Just to think for a minute and spiritualize. Let us spiritualize our life. Look at the President of America. I am mentioning it because most of us, after reading the news, we have cherished, maybe cherishing, a wrong opinion about him, our own political, unintelligent opinion. No, if we are spiritual, if we are followers of Gita, yadyad vibhuti matsatvam srimadurjitam evava tatva deva avagachatvam mama tejo amsha sambhava. So, people have elected this president and he is doing. Is he doing? No, he is not doing. It is God who made him a puppet in his hands. Now, are you going to blame God? Because if you say, believe in God, but this God is doing something good, he is doing, but many bad things also he is doing, that doesn't indicate any real faith in God. We have to say whatever the Divine Mother does, which is equivalent to God. Sarva mangala mangalye. Whatever she does is good. But we are like horses with the coverings on the eyes. So we cannot see the past, we cannot see the future, much less even next second what is going to happen we cannot see. Therefore our judgment is purely confined how much it is affecting me and my selfishness. No, the whole universe has to be run and Divine Mother does exactly. She has formulated certain regulations and anybody who follows those regulations will be able to get the highest benefit. Those who violate, then they will be given the right punishment so that they will come to the right path. So, it is the Divine Mother, anybody in power, and all of us have been given different quantities of power, not that only a president or a prime minister will have the power. So, that complete faith in the scripture is called Sharanagati. That is indicated by Pranipatena. Then one has to ask relevant questions. Tadviddhi Pariprashnena and Sevaya. This word Seva is commented in different ways. One is Saru the Guru. And what is the best way to Saru the Guru? Once Swami Yatishwaranandaji had written to me a beautiful letter. Therein he says, when I expressed my desire to serve him personally when he was in Bangalore, so he wrote to me, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, do it with the idea, I am serving Thakur Sri Ramakrishna. And if you serve Sri Ramakrishna, that is more than equivalent to serving me. This is the opinion of great people. So, Bhrigu has taken refuge and Varuna, the Brahmagnani, must have understood this boy is completely fit to receive my teaching. So what did he do? He gave three instructions. First instruction is that these are the instruments through which you will have to progress in spiritual life. What are those instruments? Panchakoshas, five koshas, indicated by Sharira, Mana, Vak, Chakshuhu, etc. We will see very shortly. That is the first indication. Second is, he gave, what is your destination? Some definition of destination should be given. And that destination, definition of the destinations are really two. One is called Swarupa Lakshana, that is called Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, to follow the Taittiriya Upanishad, second chapter, that is called Swarupa Lakshana, the real nature, but not the real nature. It is only for a human mind to, this is whatever is satyam, whatever is true knowledge, whatever is gives the greatest happiness, unbroken happiness, not temporary happiness, that alone is God. God is of the Ananda Swarupa. But we have not become fit to receive that teaching. That will come later on. And in the Vedantic, Advaita Vedantic tradition, that's why when a person becomes Adhikari, he goes to a teacher, he is called Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha Adhikari, fit person. Then what does the teacher do? First thing he tells, a Mahavakya Shramana, that Tattvamasi. And then of course explains, that is called Shramana. And many lives may take even to absorb that Shramana. But after hearing it, we have to make it our own. What we hear is from the teacher, but we have to make it completely our own. So that is what we need to do. So he gives the hint. What is the second definition? It is called the immediate appearance. What is Brahman? That this entire universe is Brahman. But Varuna did not teach the universe you see in front of you. He did not so directly indicated. What did he do? He says that cause, ultimate cause, from which the whole universe has come, and that ultimate cause, which alone is maintaining this universe, without its maintaining power, the Jagat will not be Jagat. It will be non-existent. Of course, it will not become non-existent because it is Brahman alone who is appearing both as the Janma, Sthiti and Laya. So, he who is maintaining it, Sthiti Karana, and then ultimately after the purpose is served, we go back into that ultimate cause. First, there was only clay as an example. And the clay takes shape as a pot. That is called Janma, Srishti. And then this Janma has to be maintained for some time. Growth will be there. Growth means evolution. So it is not only confined to one birth. Until we reach back Brahman, it is all Sthiti only. And then ultimately, when we are fit, we approach a competent teacher, a competent student, approaches a competent teacher and gets a competent teaching, instruction, follows it competently and then self-destroys, self-destructs and then becomes one with Brahman. Yato va imani bhutani jayante, yena bhutani jivanti, yat prayanti abhisamvishanti iti. So, if we, any one of you have studied Brahma Sutras, the very second sutra, what is this Brahman about whom we have to know? That is why first comes Brahma Atha Atha Ataha Brahma Jignasa. One should know, inquire about Brahman. Okay, I never heard about this creature called Brahman. Who is this peculiar animal called Brahman? Then he says, Janma Adhyasya Yataha. That second sutra in the Brahma Sutras, in the very first chapter, Pada, is taken from this first section of this Bhrigavalli, Yato va imani bhutani jayante, ena bhutani jivanti, yat prayanti abhisamvishanti iti. So, the teacher has given these two hints. You will have to reach Brahman. Why should I reach Brahman? Because then what you are seeking, you will get it permanently. And what am I seeking? I am seeking to be infinite. I am seeking deathlessness. I am seeking complete knowledge, full knowledge. And I am seeking unbroken bliss, sat, chit, ananda. That's what I am seeking. And that's what Brahman is. So if I become Brahman, I will be Satchidananda. So that is the goal. So the goal is to manifest this divinity within by controlling nature, external and internal. That second sentence of Swami Vivekananda in the Raja Yoga, at the beginning of Raja Yoga, indicates to this teaching. What is the goal? The goal is to become or to cognize, to know. I was thinking all this time, I am not Brahman, but now through the scriptures, through the teacher's instruction, I slowly come to realize that I am that Brahman whom I am seeking. So, the question of becoming Brahman, not being Brahman, but through some process, becoming Brahman will not arise. I was Brahman, I am Brahman, I will be Brahman, but like a person who lost his memory or obtained a wrong memory, like that. There are cases like that. So, I have come to believe I am not Brahman. I am a small, finite human body. No, the teacher corrects, the scripture corrects, you are Brahman. But what about the others? That when you become Brahman, when you come to know that you are Brahman, you will not see anything excepting Brahman. So that is the teaching. Then this is the second hint. What is the definition of Brahman? What are the instruments using which I can remember my true nature? What is the third point? There must be spiritual practice. And all the spiritual practices, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Raja Yoga, Karma Yoga, every yoga is compressed into one particular word. That is called tapas, tapaha, tapasa, brahma vijignasasva. Of course, this does not come in the first section. It will come from the second, but Varuna gives the hint. So, tapasa, brahma vijignasasva. So, you go and then perform tapasya. So, we have discussed what is this tapasya. Tapasya is one-pointed contemplation on the instruction given by the teacher. What is Aham Brahmasmi or Tattvamasi or Prajnanam Brahma or Ayamatma Brahma, one or all of these things. And part of this tapasya is certain type of both bodily or physical and mental upasanas, certain types of karma yoga. Everything is karma yoga only. Shama is karma yoga, Dhamma is karma yoga, Shraddha is karma yoga. So, Viveka is karma yoga. So, if you don't sit and then bring two objects together, think about them and start discriminating which is good, which is not good. That is that deep thinking. And then once we know for definite that this is not good for me, the ability to give it up, that is called Vairagya. Vairagya is not simply running away. Vairagya is a mental action. Vairagya is the ability to give up what one knows to be completely untrue or not beneficial, whether it be health, physical health, mental health, moral health, spiritual health, aesthetic health, whatever it is. That is what we have to understand. So, we get some vratas. In our last class, we have seen annam na nindiyat. Food should not be criticized. What is food? Not what is tasty, but what brings complete health physically and mentally. Then, annam na parichakshita. One should not criticize food. One should not waste food. One should, in fact, increase food. This is an instruction especially for householders. Not only for householders. If there are monasteries where many sannyasis or sannyasinis are living, one should accumulate quite an amount of food. What for? Because any time guests may come, and especially monasteries should not reject a person who comes, "I am starving, I am hungry, please give me food." And if we do that, monasteries do that. Monasteries means not buildings. Monasteries means the people who live there. They become arrogant. In the book of Mirdad, we see how monasteries degenerate and how Mirdad slowly brings them back to the original teaching. So, annam bahukurvita. One should accumulate food to a great extent. But for householders, they must do it to the best of their ability so that nakanchana vasatau pratyachikshita. Somebody comes, "Tonight I have no place to go, I want to stay." "Okay, we have a spare room, you stay there, but we will not supply you food." No, if you accept a guest for staying, you have to provide food. Both of them go together. Therefore, bahuannam prapnuyat. So, one should accumulate food, especially householders. Then, upasana yoga. Several upasanas are given. So, what is the first upasana? Virat upasana. What is the Virat upasana? A whole universe should be considered as a single body of God. In plain words, what it means is, the whole universe is nothing but Brahman. So, since I am in that universe, I must consider that I am none other than Brahman. But to realize that, first we have to accept it with faith. Then we have seen in the Chandogya and other Upanishads, this body is called Brahmapuri. Why? Because it houses Brahman, pure consciousness. Then within this body, there is a inner sanctum sanctorum. That is called Hridayakasha, Dharakasha. And within that is that pure consciousness, otherwise called Atma, otherwise called Brahman. So slowly one should enter. What is the meaning of entering? Entering means just as when you enter into a room, you give up the door, you don't stay at the door, you transcend the door and then move forward. Then you will be inside the room. So moving from our identity with the external objects, moving our identity from the body to the mind, or according to the scheme of the panchakoshas, first identify with every body, that is called Virat. Then identify with prana, that is sutratma, every prana, not only my individual prana. Then give up that identity and identify with Manomaya, Hiranyagarbha. Then give up slowly that one and identify with Mahat or with every intellect, universal intellect. Then finally come to the Anandamaya Kosha, identify which is called Ishvara and then go beyond it. Because all these are only coverings, dresses. So every covering, however wonderful the covering is, it has to be given up if I want to know. And actually, this is what we do every day of our life. After taking bath or whatever, so you enter into the toilet will be full of mirrors and 150 bottles of all sorts of decorations, and then we want to decorate. So you have to get the help of the mirror. What do? If you put on a covering on your face, will you be able to correct yourself? Similarly, we can see what we are only when we take off all the coverings. Destroy the coverings. Destroying coverings means removing our identification, just as we know in one sense of the term that we are not the dress. But still, we fall under the illusion, if I dress well, then I am looking beautiful. So, you decorate a monkey, an old monkey, with the finest silk cloths. Will the monkey look beautiful, or will it look even more ugly than before? So, the purpose of the Panchakosha description is so that you slowly give up the attachment, beginning from the grossest, slowly moving inward. So, like a insect having four legs, first it lifts its two legs, then it wants to move from one leaf to the other leaf, and then it firmly plants the four legs on the leaf, and then only it lifts the back legs, and then it starts moving. So, like that insect, we have to first firmly be established with Virat Brahma, to Sutratma Brahma, to Hiranyagarbha Brahma, through Mahat Brahma, and to Ishvara. But even Ishvara is Saguna Brahma. That is why he is called Anandamaya Kosha. Collective Anandamaya Kosha is another name for what we call Ishvara. And by the way, don't identify Ishvara with what is called Shiva's another name, Ishvara. Ishvara means ruler. So, ruler is Brahman. That is a different meaning. Here, Ishvara means one who is, who lords over, the creator makes us dependent upon him. So, step by step, we have to go, even Sri Ramakrishna beautifully illustrates, even after reaching the fifth story, don't remain in the fifth story. Go to the roof. And what is the roof? Akasha. Akasha is the Paramakarana, Mula Karana, causeless cause, Parabrahma. You can't go beyond the Akasha space. That is the process given here. So, these are given even in Puranas. This is called Virat Upasana. And I am giving you, there are many people who are devoted to recite Vishnu Sahasranama. And the traditional method is, before we start Vishnu Sahasranama, we have to meditate upon Bhagavan Vishnu. And Bhagavan Vishnu has to be maintained as the everything, as the universal Purusha, Vishva Purusha. And this is the essence of all these suktams, Purusha Sukta, Narayana Sukta, Sahasra Sirsha Purushaha, for example. So, Sirsha means head. Sahasra Sirsha means what? You see thousands and thousands of heads. Not only human beings, it can be mosquitoes, it can be ants, it can be microbes, everything as an individual head. But don't say, this is an insect's head. It is Narayana's head. Every head that we see belongs to Narayana. Every hand, every leg, every limb of the body, everything belongs to Narayana only. That ability to see one God in everything, God in everything, everything in God, is epitomized in the very first verse of the Isayavasya Upanishad, as we have heard this quotation many times, Isayavasya Medakum Sarvam, Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat, Tena Tektena Bhunjitha, Magritaha Kasya Svit Dhanam. So don't covet anybody's wealth. Why? Because, like a fool, you are robbing yourself. You are cleverly thinking that I am robbing somebody else, so I am gaining something. It is like a fellow who picks his own pocket, says, I gained something great. No, that is not the thing. So this is the beautiful, what is called meditational shloka in before starting Vishnu Sahasranama. Bhuhu padav yasya nabihi viyat asura anila chandra surya uchanetre karnav ashaha shiro dyauhu mukhamapi dahano yasya vasteyamabdhihi antastham yasya vishvam sura nara khaga bhoga bhogi gandharva daityaihi chitram ramramyate tam tribhuvana vapusham vishnumesham namami. I salute Vishnu, the lord of the universe. So what are all these three worlds? It is his body. Tribhuvana vapusham. Vapu means body. His means God's. So it is not Vishnu. It applies equally to Shiva, Divine Mother, Vishnu, to what we call God, what we call Allah, to everybody. His two feet are the earth, his navel is the sky, the wind is his breath, the moon and the sun are his two eyes, his ears are the quarters, his head is the vault of heaven, his face is the fire, and the ocean is his dwelling, in whose form the entire universe resides. Gods, humans, birds, cattle, serpents, gandharvas and demons, ever delighting in its wondrous leela play to him, the lord of the three worlds, whose form pervades all. I bow to him. Here also there is a beautiful word we should never misunderstand. So it is a the lord of the three worlds. Like prime minister, our prime minister is the prime minister of our entire Indian country. So what is the misunderstanding? He is not the entire India, but he should be considered that he is the administrator of the entire India. Most often people don't do it. Certainly he won't feel. He is not a rishi. He at best is goodwill, and that's all he can do. So it is not like that. So the ruler is different. The ruled are different. No, the ruler and the ruled, both are exactly the same. Like what? Like when we dream, we are the individuals in our dream. We are our neighbors in our dream. So if you are moving in a forest, the whole forest is created. You only became the forest. You only became the time. You only became the space. You only are quarreling with yourself. You only are loving with yourself. This is the idea we have to understand. So the Taittiriya Upanishad takes certain objects and want to give a universal outlook. This is called holistic attitude. For that, certain upasanas are designed. And these, some objects are taken as a sample, and two types of relationships, anna annada, that is enjoined and enjoyer, eater and the eater, and the pratishtha, pratishthita, support and supported. And there cannot be subject without object, there cannot be object without subject. So if you are dependent upon somebody, that person is called depender. You are called the dependent. So if you are not dependent, depender will not exist. Similarly, if there is no depender, you will also not become dependent. Then pratishtha, pratishthita, support and supported. So the table is called the support to keep, let us say, a book, and the book is the supported, table is the supporter. But if the book is not there, the table will lose its title that I am the supporter. Both are necessary. The whole thing can be squeezed into subject-object relationship. So we are, without me, the world doesn't exist. Without the world, I don't exist. Sometimes I become the dependent upon the world. Sometimes the world becomes dependent upon me. So I am supported by the world, and the world also supports me. For this, certain, what is, what is called ideas are taken. For example, annam and shariram. Anna depends upon what is called shariram is dependent upon annam, and annam also is dependent upon shariram. So when the body becomes dependent upon food, food becomes the supporter and body becomes the supported. But if the body is not there, body will not work, body will not produce food, then food will not be there. Therefore, in that sense, body is the supporter and the food is the supported. This is, in brief, all these things are called Virat Upasana, contemplation of the universal. What does a person become? Annavan annadu bhavati, mahan bhavati, prajaya pashubhir brahma varchasena. So the Upanishad gives two results. If he is a worldly minded person, even this worship, this contemplation will result in he becomes a rich person, a famous person. He becomes a person who supports many. He becomes a great person with children, with beautiful, pleasant, happy, united, cooperative family members, husband, wife, children, parents, friends. Everybody is the most supportive person in this world only if the person does this contemplation as a result. If you want an example, Sri Ramakrishna was remarking about the household of Balaram Basu. He says in this family, even the servant, he is swimming in the ocean of devotion. What a marvelous statement. So, if the husband thinks, wife thinks the same way, children think the same way, even the servants think the same way, all of them are completely united in the devotion to God. They are swimming in the ocean of devotion. That was Sri Ramakrishna's unqualified remark, certificate about Balaram Basu's family. And there are fortunate families. That's what Bhagavan Sri Krishna says. Somebody had fallen from yoga, and to progress further, he will be reborn. What type of family? Athava Srimatam Gehi. Srimatam. That is, he is born in a family which is full of devotion. The entire family, which will have a positive influence upon his whole life, etc. But if the person doesn't have any desires, but still has to progress, Athava Yoginam Eva Kule Bhavati Dhimatam. Otherwise, a yogi, to fulfill his desires legitimately, he will be born Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Abhijayate. So there is an order in this world and nobody can escape. That is why he said that Hinduism's greatest pillar of Hinduism is Karma Siddhanta. That means all of us, we get what we deserve. We don't get what we don't really deserve. So this person who contemplates in this particular way, he will be, if he wants still unfulfilled worldly desires, he will get all these things. But if he becomes really, really devoted to God, want to realize God, he says, I don't want all these things. Then such a person, his mind will become one-pointed. Then he becomes sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikari. Then God will arrange. God himself will come in the form of appropriate teacher, because every realized soul is another form of Brahman only. And what is the role of the guru? He takes one to that highest realization. So that is how we have to understand. One Swami Brahmanandaji was asked by one of his disciples, can a guru give us knowledge of Brahman? Brahmanandaji looked at him and said, he did not say loudly, you are a fool not to be able to understand the simplest equation. Guru not only can help you advance towards God, he can give you God realization. And how he does it? Guru, slowly taking the hand of his disciple, takes him to his Ishtadevata. Then what happens? The guru merges in the Ishtadevata. After pointing out to the disciple, look, there is your Ishtadevata. The question now comes, after pointing out the Ishtadevata, chosen deity, what does the guru do? Does he remain by the side for the disciple to gawk at his Ishtadevata? No. The guru smilingly disappears into Ishtadevata's form, indicating to the disciple most clearly that I only appeared in the form of the Guru and was guiding you towards this. And that is the end of the matter. Anybody who has this kind of Ishta Darshana, that Ishta himself, along with the Guru, the disciple also merges in the Ishta Devata, and that Ishta Devata now manifests as Parabrahma. This is the beautiful idea that we have to understand. Then there are minor contemplations are there. One is called Brahma Upasana. What is that Brahma Upasana? Every force of nature, raining, lightning, thunder, the sun, the moon, the stars, from the viewpoint of the scientist, they are all lifeless matter, nature. But from the viewpoint, it is Brahman only manifesting. Then contemplate on Akasha. This is called Akasha Upasana. And what is the result? The space, Akasha, is infinite, indivisible, unattached, all-pervading, and equal to everybody. Those qualities will manifest in the spiritual aspirant's mind. And there are some people who have some desire for name and fame, for becoming great, to be honored by everybody. Then how he should contemplate Brahman? Pratishtha, Mahaha, Manaha, Namaha, Brahma, and Parimara. That means, simply it is this. I meditate upon, I contemplate Brahman as name and fame. Then what happens? Brahman manifests in me in the form of name and fame. Everybody will revere me in some form or the other. I meditate upon Brahman as Mahaha, the greatest. I become the greatest. I meditate upon Brahman as mind. Then I will have all the intellectual knowledge. I meditate upon Brahman as Namaha. That is, everybody, Brahman is the only object worthy of salutation. As a result, everybody will salute me because that Namaha quality of Brahman manifests in me by through contemplation as Brahman. Therefore, automatically, everybody will be bowing down to me even if they don't want. And Brahman is Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. And anybody who meditates Brahman as the unrivaled power, then his enemies will perish automatically. I just want to conclude in today's talk with two examples. When Sri Ramakrishna's father, Kshudiram, used to walk, going to the tank for taking bath, everybody, without exception, automatically, without any prompt, want to get up, and until he is out of sight, they will not be able to sit down. That is showing respect. Why? Because Kshudiram meditated upon the Divine Mother as Mahaha, or as name and fame, respect, kirti, etc. Second example, when Buddha joined some bhikshus, five bhikshus, so they were together, 5 + 1, 6, and they were practicing the hardest of austerities, then Buddha realized this extreme asceticism is not the way. Neither too much of indulgence nor complete abstention from indulgence. Both are bad. The golden mean. So just eat whatever you have to enjoy, but don't pay attention. Pay attention after that with the strength gained on your goal. So he left them and then he performed other tapasyas, and then soon he became a knower of Brahman, that is called Bodhi. And then he thought, my brother disciples, they are the fittest persons to receive my this newly acquired knowledge. So he made his way to Sarnath near Varanasi, and he approached. The five brother disciples were sitting and they looked at Siddhartha from a distance, and they decided, this Siddhartha is a fallen person. He has left our practices, and whoever leaves our practice is a fallen man. We will not show any regard to him, any respect to him. But as soon as Bhagavan Buddha approached, we don't know what power had taken possession of them. Involuntarily they got up. They bowed down to him. They welcomed him. They made him sit down. They surrounded him. And very humbly, they became very humble. Your face shines like a Noira Brahman. Please teach us what you have learned. So, Buddha, by meditating upon Brahman, became Brahman, and nobody can be greater than Brahman. This is one of the upasanas. With this, different upasanas are indicated. They have both worldly benefit as well as spiritual benefit. Now, we will, from the next class onwards, we will straight go to the original text. If you keep this background in the mind, then it is just a breeze over. There is no difficulty in understanding them. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayoh Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.